Good morning.
This week, our prayer focus is the use of our time. One of the reasons that we put this up as one of our prayer focus is the use of our time is so important in our lives, so important. But yet, we seldom spend enough time to think and seek God about what we should do with our time. Time is very important. The amount of time we have is equal to the amount of life we have in this world. We cannot live longer than the time God has given us. Therefore, wasting time is wasting life. And the outcome of your life is entirely dependent on how you use your time. How you use your time will determine your happiness, your accomplishment, your destiny, and even go further, it will affect your eternity. Right? Therefore, time is the most valuable resources that God has given us, each and every one of us. If you want to live well, you have to pay attention to how you use your time. This is not an option. I like to ask young people, what is their greatest asset? You know, young people in a teenager, you don't have car, you don't have house, right? It takes time to wonder, what is my greatest asset? It takes them some time to finally give me a right answer. The answer is time. And because the importance of time is not always apparent, is it? A young man would think that having my first degree is the most important thing. Making millions and having nice things in life is most important. Having good looks, a good job, and a great relationship is important. They are upset with God when God doesn't give them what they want. Right? But they fail to notice the greatest asset that God has given them is time. Well, an old man will wonder, this message is for the younger generation, but I'm older. My golden era is over. I'm no longer at my prime time. Time is no longer my asset, my greatest asset. Well, if you're over 50 like me, so what is your greatest asset? Well, let me tell you. Your greatest asset is your remaining time. If you think that you have 20 years to live, this is precious. Don't waste it. If you think that you have only 10 years to live, this is even more precious. All the more, don't waste it. The value of time never depreciates. Its value was only going to increase over time as we age. When I was in my 40s, a good friend of mine told me something very precious. He said, Seng Guan, your next 10 years is very important. Make sure that you use them well. I thank God for his word, It's true. In fact, as I think about it, time is important whether you are in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s. This applies to all generations, in all stages of life. Time is precious when you are young or when you are old. Time is precious when you are at the top of your life or when you are down. Time is precious when you have everything and when you have nothing. Time never loses its value. Because time is a gift of God. It is priceless regardless of where you are in life. Regardless. If today you feel very discouraged, you think that you have failed, the world has failed you, or God has failed you, you feel that you have nothing in this life, well, if you still have time today, you are sitting on a gold mine. Don't waste it. So for this reason, we need to be wise in how we manage our time. We need godly wisdom to use this precious commodity that God has given to us, all of us. Without wisdom from God, we will not manage our time well. In the Bible, there are a few ways we can gain wisdom, godly wisdom. The first way is, well, you fear God. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise, you fear God. You keep His commandment. Don't ignore His will. Don't take Him lightly. Don't waste your time that He has given you. Fear Him. The second way you can get wisdom is you pray. In James 1:5, we say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So you want to have wisdom on how to live your life well, how to use your time wisely, you need to pray. God will give you wisdom. This is a promise. And finally, count your days. The third way to gain wisdom is to count your days. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. To count your days imply the brevity of life. 1 year may seem very long. With the blink of the eye, 2026 will be over, right? 10 years may seem very long. With the blink of an eye, it's over. Have you ever looked at your younger days photo? Does it feel like yesterday? Or just last week? That is the brevity of life, right? Just like why you count your money, your asset from time to time, right? Why? To safeguard any losses, wastage, make sure your investment return well, right? You do the same for your time. Count your days from time to time. To safeguard wastage, theft, and know how to invest in the future. In fact, you should do this more frequently than you count your money. Because your time is far more precious than anything you own in your life. Once you start counting your days, you start to see leakages. You start to see how your time is wasted. And it becomes clear to you how you have been using your time. And it also becomes clear to you how you should invest your time. So time is a very, very powerful commodity. You will start gaining wisdom just by counting it. As powerful as that. Just by counting money, you know how to invest, right? Just by counting your time, you gain wisdom. So the world has three power or strategy that will diminish our time. There are more than three, but I give you three. I've shared this with our young people, but I feel the whole church needs to know this. The first thing or the first power that can diminish your time is addiction. Any form of addiction will diminish, short circuit your time. Some addictions are less harmful. Watching K-drama, browsing TikTok, right? These are less harmful. But But equally time wasting, okay? Equally. Some addictions are fatal, like drugs, sexual related activity, gambling. It doesn't matter you have 30 or 50 years in your hand. If you have an addiction problem, it will short circuit your productive years in Christ. It will suppress your potential in Christ. It will make you unproductive in Christ. Some, it may even disqualify you from service. Why? Because addiction causes you to lose power or control over your time. Addiction means that we have power to say yes, but we don't have power to say no. That's why you call it addiction, right? In James 1:14, it says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when he has conceived, give birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, bring forth death. Can you see? Sin is not just an act. It's a process. Temptation plus uncontrolled desire give birth to sin. When sin is fully grown, give birth to death. Sin has power. It's addictive. It grows. It leads to destruction. Addiction is powerful because it's operating on the power of sin. It has the power to reduce your productive years in Christ by half or more. Once you count your days, you'll notice how much time you have wasted to the power of addiction. The second power that steals our time is distraction. I'm not referring to distraction from your WhatsApp messages, all right? But distraction that derail you from your calling, your purpose, and your destiny and that God has given you. I've seen many Christians drop out of church because they are busy. They were busy with their job or projects. But the problem is they never return after the projects end. They got distracted permanently. They got used to living their life without Christ. They lost focus. They forget Christ is far more important than your career. In life, many things can distract us. Many. Career, relationship, dreams, pleasure, hobby. The list is endless. But these are the gifts of God. These are good things from God. But if we are careless, that they can draw us away from God. The Bible has issued countless warnings that we should not get distracted and forget God when God and life is good. Show you a passage that Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8 warned the Israelites. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you are eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Continue to verse 19. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods, serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall you shall surely perish. Many years ago, I was pickpocketed in Wan Utama. Many years ago, about 20 years ago. You know, near the open car park in the old wing. It was a night. At night, I was walking towards my car. It was drizzling. So when you walk in between the cars park, right, the walk is pretty narrow. I saw this man walking towards me, and also walking towards him. And we kind of lightly touched as we walk past one another. Within a short distance only, like here walking up to the drum set there, I noticed my wallet was gone. Somehow when the guy walked past me, I feel that something is not right. And it kind of dawned on me that we are so sensitive and quick to pick up when we lose money. When our investment or share lose value, when our company undercut our commission, we are so alert to these material losses, right? But we are very slow to discover or to react when we have lost our birthright in Christ or our first love for God. Do you notice that? When we lost our way and we come to church, when God called us back, our attitude usually is, next week first lah, next week. Today I'm not ready. I go to toilet first. But you lost your mobile phone in the church. I dare you go to toilet first. You'll try to find out where is my phone first, right? Isn't that our spiritual heritage more important than our phone? Why do we behave this way? Because of the flesh, our sinful nature. Our sinful nature makes us have no urgency when it comes to spiritual matter. So for this reason, spiritual distraction can cost us decades, not just years, decades, months from effective Christian living. Because we usually have no urgency when we come to any spiritual loss. I've seen people walk out of the church in their 20s and walk back with their gray hairs. And some never make it back. So remember this. Losing focus on God is losing time. And the third power that steals our time is deception. We are living in an end time. And the key feature of this age is deception. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The message of atheism is that there is no God and there is no judgment. This is a very attractive position of atheism, no accountability. You can get away with anything. When you die, you will just go into nothingness. That's it. So I need you to follow very closely on this. The Apostle Paul told the Christian, I want you to be very clear about this. Don't be deceived. Number one, there will be judgment for all who practice lawlessness. They will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Number two, Christian, you are saved by grace, not works. But still, you cannot practice lawlessness because the gospel is not a license to sin. Number three, to believe that the gospel is your license to sin without consequences is to be deceived. Got it? Therefore, the apostle warned the Christian, let no one deceive you because it's dangerous. Deception will cause you to lose judgment of God's truth and his character. It makes you think that God don't mind. God don't mind if I sin. It makes us believe the wrong doctrine and to love the wrong things. My friend once told me, Seng Guan, love your job, but not your company. Because you don't know when your company stop loving you. Got that? Love your job, not your company. Because you don't know when your company stop loving you. My friend who was in his 50s, one day discovered his company stopped loving him. He was asked to leave. He worked years in the company. It's a very painful episode to discover the company that you love all these years, one day stop loving you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you not to work hard. I'm asking you to work hard, but don't love your job more than God. Okay? If you ask me, my advice to you is, don't even love your job. Love Christ. Because one day you also find that you become irrelevant in your job, you know. Even for your job, one day will stop loving you. So don't be deceived. Love Christ. Christ will not stop loving you. Can I have an amen to that? So be addiction, distraction, or deception. The net effect is the same. It will reduce your productive years in Christ. It will derail you from your calling and blessing in Christ. They serve the same purpose. So, brother and sister in Christ, we need to go back to Scripture, count our days, and learn wisdom from it. Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. The days are evil. The world has a way to tempt you, distract you, deceive you, that causes you to lose control, lose focus, and lose judgment. But as Christians, we need to be wise, making the best use of our time. To do what? To understand what the will of God is. Every one of us, in average, I'm saying, we have about 30,000 days, 20 to 30,000 days. 30,000 days amount to 82 years old. Okay? Average. If you're already 27 years old, you have already used up 10,000 days. Okay. In 30,000 days, we just need to figure out two big questions in life, only two. The first big question we have to figure out in this 30,000 days is, do I have to perish? This is very fundamental, right? If the answer is yes, all of us are going to perish one day, regardless of what we do, then the 80s is right. Life will turn into nothingness eventually. There's no consequences. No accountability, no rewards, nothing. So how to live? Then you just YOLO, you know, YOLO. You only live once. You maximize life happiness every day. Because you will perish anyway. Why bother about purpose and meaning? Just enjoy the present and make sure that you have maximum happiness. All the feelings that we are talking about, be it pain, happiness, disappointment, fulfillment, these are just some chemical reaction in our brain, you know. These are not real stuff, you know. So why take life so seriously? If your answer to the question is no, that we don't have to perish. In this life, we have God. We have God that loves us. And there is hope and salvation. Then you have to ask yourself the second big question. How now shall I live? Since now I'm safe, I don't have to perish, right? What is my calling in this life? What is the will of God for me? And God has given us 20 to 30,000 days to discover this for ourselves. It's all written in the Bible. Today, all right, to make sure that you can sleep well tonight, I'll give you one passage. In case I ask you to do God's will, say, what is God's will? I didn't tell you. Right? Okay, let you sleep well. I just choose one passage among the many. 1 Peter 2, 15. That tell us, God tell us all what is the will of God is. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Number one, the will of God is to do good works and give a good testimony to those people may not even agree with you, who are unkind to you, who even oppose you. Be the salt and light in this world. Wherever you go, whatever you do, that's God's will for you. Second, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servant of God. Gospel is not just about achieving freedom. Gospel is about using the freedom that you have to glorify God in your lifetime. Don't misuse your freedom to do evil or sin, but to serve God. Finally, honor everyone. Love the neighborhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Why? Honor and love one another. Fear God and be a good citizen. Merdeka. Right? So this is the will of God for all of us, without exception. But you say, "Aiyah, I don't have time, nah." The truth is, all of us have 24 hours. Those who manage an organization of 10 people have 24 hours. Those who manage an organization with 10,000 people also have 24 hours. Those who manage a country with 1 billion citizens also have 24 hours. God is fair. All of us have 24 hours a day. You claim you have no time, but you spend hours on social media. You may say, yeah, I have time, but I don't have bandwidth. I don't have the mental capacity to do God's will. I'm too tired. I need to relax. I'm very stressed. No time. No bandwidth. These are the excuses we like to convince ourselves. And the last one is even more interesting. No point. Even if I can gather all my strength and my time and do this thing, no point in doing it. Why? Because the outcome remains the same. Right? So no time, no bandwidth, no point. These are the excuses, you know. Sorry, These are not even excuses. These are deception. Every time we strive to do something for God, we want to improve our Christian, our spiritual life, a mind, a voice in our minds will say, I have no time, I have no bandwidth, and there's no point trying because the outcome will still be the same. Does this sound familiar to you? These are deception, not just excuses. That weakness, it causes us to be stuck in our spiritual life. But we like this kind of excuses, you see, because it satisfies the flesh. It makes us feel that we have a good reason not to change. We have a ground to justify. It's not that I don't want to change, I just have no time and no bandwidth. Brother and sister in Christ, the truth is, you have time. You have the bandwidth. And you can make a difference and will make a difference if only you trust God and follow what He said. If only. It's very easy. Today, I don't want to give you application. I want to give you homework today, not the application. Homework. Today, when you reach home, pick up a pen and a paper and count your days. Sit down and count your days. Find out about your calling. Think about what you're going to use your time in the future. Well, I've been using the word calling. Let me clarify it a bit. Your job is part of your calling. Part. But your job is not the totality of your calling. Your job is what you're paid to do. Your calling is what you're born to do. If you know your calling, even if you lose your job, you are not lost. If you know your calling, even you're utterly discouraged, you are not lost. Because you know what you are born to do, how can you be lost? So your calling is not about you. Your plan, your targets, your dreams, your calling are rooted in God's will. Time is the currency that God has given you to fulfill this calling and to do His will. Therefore, such an important thing, wouldn't it warrant for you to spend a few days among the 30,000 days that you have to seek God and know it for sure? But if you still insist to think along the line, I have no time to find out, I have no bandwidth to think about it, at the end of this, it's a pointless exercise, well, that will be your call. So let's recollect what we have learned. The sermon title is The Use of Our Time. We started by saying that time is precious. If today you are below 50, your time is very precious. If you are above 50, your remaining time is even more precious. Therefore, don't waste it. Because wasting time is wasting life. The second main point that we have learned is the days are evil. The world has its way to feed your addiction, to distract you, and to deceive you. The net effect is the same. It's to reduce your productive time in Christ. To shorten it or completely remove your productive years in Christ. Therefore, you need to count your days and learn wisdom. Make sure that you are not deceived by believing the wrong doctrine that it's okay to sin even that you're in Christ or love the wrong things. Make sure that you are not distracted. Make sure that let no addiction come into your life. And the last point is, live wisely. Making the best of use of your time to do the will of God. Well, what is the will of God? Fear and serve God. Honor and love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do good and be a good witness for Christ in your family, in your workplace, and in your school. Finally, be a good citizen. Seek justice, love mercy. In life, there are many things that we cannot choose. We cannot choose our parents. We cannot choose where we are born. But we can certainly able to choose how to use our time. I'm absolutely sure about this. So if you choose your time to do God's will, you will live a life without regrets. I want to end this sharing with this verse from Psalms 31. But I trust you, O Lord, I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. At this point, the psalmist was in distress. He was crying for help and deliverance, and yet he is hopeful because his time is in God's hand. He recognized that God is in total control of the time of this world and of his life. And he is placing his trust in God, in a God who holds eternity. Christian view of life is different. Why? Because Christian view of time is different. For Christian, time is not an indefinite progression of existence or events, but time is in the hand of God. This is a great paradigm shift. Therefore, our life is not an accident or purposeless as what the atheist advocating. Our time is in God's hand, is intentional, purposeful, and meant to be impactful for Christ. Therefore, don't waste your 30,000 days. Even if you have 100 days to live, don't waste it. Live for Christ and do His will. I want to invite the worship team. Today, prayer focus is about the use of time. Well, spend time with God for the next few days. Ask God, what should you do with your time or the remaining time that you have? Find out what is your calling. Don't waste your time pursuing and loving the wrong things. Thus far, I have not heard a single testimony that said that they regretted that they have spent their life fulfilling their divine calling. I have not heard any of this. The usual people talk about is how they regretted that they have spent their time and lived their life because they were distracted. They were deceived in living the wrong things instead of God. This is the thing I've heard. If you are distracted from your calling today, or you're unsure about your calling, you can put a stop to that. Only you can do it, because this is your responsibility to find out your calling. Fall on your knee if you must. Fast if you must. If 1 week is insufficient you to find the answer, spend 1 month if you must. Do anything to find out the answer. But don't live your life without knowing for sure what you need to do in this life. Give God a blank check. Okay, the blank check is not that you write the figure, ask God to sign. That one is not fair. The blank check is you sign and ask God to write the figure. That's the blank check. And if you are willing to offer your life to do God's will, sincerely, you seek God with all your heart, God will show you great and unsearchable things. Come, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for giving us time. Open our eyes to see how precious is our time, Lord. How precious is our life. Father, thank you for reminding us that the days are evil. Free us from any form of addiction. Release us from the bondage of sin. Let's not to be distracted by the beauty of this world, which is fading. Let's not to be deceived, believing that we are not accountable for our action or inaction, Lord. Father, help us to count our days, that we may gain the heart of wisdom, that we may make the best use of our time to do your will. Father, show us how we can live a life that's pleasing in your sight. Father, we offer our days to you. We offer our lives to you. We place our trust in you because our time is in your hands, Lord. Show us your glory, that we may love you, serve you, and follow you for the rest of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray.